Glory to God. Amen. Well, praise God. We know that it's God's will for us to walk in divine health because of the character of our God. Exodus 15:26b tells us what? I am the Lord that healeth thee. Okay? So when we meditate on that, we could say, He is the Lord that healeth me. Okay? All right. Let's look at the character of God. Let's see if there's some sickness going on, you know, because part of the church has been taught wrong, okay, that, you know, sickness or disease has been put on them to prove their piety or they're going through because of something that they may have done as a child. But that's not true. Let's go back to the beginning. Go with me to Genesis, the first chapter. Genesis, the first chapter. In Genesis, the first chapter, verse 1, the scripture says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God makes the decision to make the heavens and the earth. And the scripture says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So I want you to imagine this, that God makes a decision. He steps out and there's nothingness. And we know that there is something in our God always. Okay? And then we see that the Spirit of God was moving upon the face of the waters. So Teresa, I need you, and Dolores, I need you, and dear, what's your first name again?
Lauren.
Lauren, I need you. Okay? So, Teresa, you're going to be God. God. Right here.
Okay.
Dolores, you're going to be the Holy Ghost. Okay? And Lauren, you're going to be Jesus. Okay? So all of y'all got good places. Okay? Amen. Okay. So God the Father makes the decision. You know, now, understand this, that in the plurality of God, they don't come against one another. They all do what God the Father would have them to do, okay? And as they work as a unit, they get the job done.
Amen.
Okay, so somebody has to make the decision. Okay, so God the Father makes the decision that he, she, is going to make the heavens and the earth, okay? And where's Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is moving upon the face of the deep, okay? Now, it's good to remember that the Holy Ghost is always active. He wants to do something. Got to do something. He don't never want to stay still. Always wants to do something. But he won't do anything until God the Word speaks. Remember John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? So as soon as God the Word says what is the will of the Father, because remember Jesus said, I always do the will of my Father. Okay? And remember, he said, I only speak what I hear my Father say. Okay? So he knows the will of the Father. The Holy Ghost does too. But he won't do nothing without word being spoken.
Yeah.
So Jesus is dark and void, and we need some light. So would you give that Holy Ghost some direction and speak, light be?
Light be.
And what happens? Holy Ghost.
Light
is, okay? Amen. Thank you, gods. Okay? All right. Now, I use that illustration because I wanted you to keep in your mind that grandma could have the sniffles. But God cannot do anything until the word is spoken. Do you follow what I'm saying? The price has already been paid. Don't God see grandma got the sniffles? He ain't gonna do nothing until the word is spoken. Okay? All right. So as we go down the character of God, we see that the Spirit of God decides to change things, and he says, light be. Now, that wasn't the sun and moon. That was development, because the sun and moon came over here around the 14th, 13th or 14th verse, okay, that he said he created the sun and the moon as we know illumination. But it's good to know that where it was dark and void, when the word was spoken, development happened. It's no longer void. Now, when you speak the word of God, whether it's void or empty in your life or your circumstance or your situation, because you're made in his image and likeness, when you speak the word of God, you speak development to your situation, to your circumstance. Amen? Now, as we go down here, we see, and God said, let there be light, and there was light or development, and God saw the development, and that it was what? Good. So God says something, he watches over his word. Isn't that what Jeremiah says? He watches over his word to perform it, and he says it, he saw it, and what was it? It was good, okay? Now let's go a little bit further. We're talking about the character of God. Let's see, let's go to the 20th verse. Genesis 1 and verse 20, okay? And God said, okay, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that fly above the earth in the open firmament in heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which moveth upon and forth in abundance after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw, so he speaks, he goes back and he checks it out, and what is it? It's good. My. Okay? And then we know what happened in verse 26. God didn't create us off of a monkey. God didn't need another angel. See, you go to some home-goings, and sometimes people say, well, God needed another angel. No, God created all the angels. God created all the flowers. He didn't need another flower in heaven. Okay? God says, Jesus, Holy Ghost, let us make man in our image. That word image in the Hebrew means representative. So we are God's representative here on earth. Image and likeness. That word likeness means model. When I was 6 years old, Daddy had a Chrysler, okay? Now, I couldn't drive that Chrysler at 6 years old. But notice this. Excuse me. Daddy could take me to the store and buy me a model just like his. We are models just like our father. Okay? And then in verse 31, Genesis 1:31, the scripture says, excuse me, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was what?
Very good.
Very good. Which sound to me like when he got to you and me.
Uh-uh.
Amen. Matter of fact, the New Testament, I believe it's in Ephesians, says that we are God's masterpiece. If you're Italian, we are the best he got. Amen? Praise God. We are his masterpiece. So, look, maybe there was some sickness or disease up in the throne room. Go with me to Isaiah, the sixth chapter. Isaiah, the sixth chapter. We're looking at the character of God. God put this on me because, you know, to try and prove something. No. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting high upon a throne. So God wasn't sitting just any kind of way. He's sitting high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. You all know, when the bride comes in, you know, everybody stands and rides. You know, and when she come in, she usually got a long train. And as she walk up the aisle, the folk go, ooh. Okay, well, can you imagine God up in his throne, sitting high and lifted up? And the scripture says his train filled the temple. And listen, there are different rank structures of the angels. That's why the enemy, who can't create anything, he's a copycat, he has different rank structures. You know, they're archangels, they're cherubims, they're serpents. But these were serpents, and their job was to worship God. And the scripture says, with two of his wings, he covered his what? Face. And with two, he covered his feet. Because he didn't want to draw no attention to himself. He wanted Ike to pay attention to God. Okay? And the scripture says that those serpents, they went holy when they would look at God the Father. Holy when they would look at Jesus the Son. Holy when they would look at that Holy Ghost. Amen? The whole earth is filled with his glory. Amen? And the scripture says that they worship God so tough. See, we think we can worship God, but it says that the post up in heaven, I'm not talking about man-made posts. I'm talking about the post up in heaven shook from their worshiping of God. Amen? Glory to God. So we can't find no sickness up in heaven. Maybe Jesus took a day of here at the church. We don't call it sick leave. We call it wellness leave. But let's see if Jesus, you know, Jesus did a whole lot in 3 years. Amen. He was busy. Come on over here to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Surely Jesus needed a day off. Catch his breath. Hey, God, I need a day of wellness leave. Matthew, the 14th chapter. And let's look at we'll start at verse 10. We'll bring you up to snuff. Jesus had a cousin, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was a preacher, okay? And he is proclaiming the good things of Jesus, okay? He's proclaiming Jesus is to come. And they wanted him to shut up, but it cost him his head, okay? And John the Baptist is beheaded, and Jesus, his cousin, gets the message, and the scripture says Jesus has been touched with our infirmities. See, God the Father has not been touched with the feeling of grief, but Jesus has. So when we lose somebody, I'm getting happy now. When we lose somebody, Jesus knows all about it, okay? Because he's been touched by it, okay? And the scripture says that Jesus went off. Because he stripped himself of all heavenly regality to take on the likeness of mankind, okay? He goes off to mourn, okay? And they heard Jesus was in the neighborhood. And the Bible says that they came from cities. I want you to picture this now. Down at the monument, they came from Baltimore. They came from Rockville. They came from Frederick. And they came from Richmond. Okay, because they all wanted to be healed and delivered. Now, Jesus could have told his disciples, he could have told his PPAs, I don't want to be bothered. Okay, but the scripture says that Jesus was moved with compassion. I like to call compassion love in action. Okay, Jesus was moved with compassion. What? Toward their sick, and he healed them. Man, so we can't find Jesus taking off no sick days. Okay, well, come on over here. Maybe there was some sickness going on up in heaven. Revelation, can't find no sickness going on in God. My goodness. Revelation, the 22nd chapter. Oh, okay, I need to go to 22. Revelation 22, look at verse 1. And John is being shown around, and he says, and he showed me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God of the Lamb. In the middle of it, on either side of the river, there was the what? Tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded his fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the what? Healing of the nation. So we can't find no sickness at all in God. Amen. Well, we know that it's God's will for us to walk in divine health because of the redemptive work done by the Lord Jesus Christ. Redeemed means to buy back, to pay off, to rescue, to ransom. Ransom is the price demanded by or for the release of a kidnapped person. It is the payment for the release of that person or property. Now, let's bring that down into layman's terms. Okay, if, matter of fact, I think Rockefeller did have somebody that was kidnapped, didn't he? But I'll just use Rockefeller, because Rockefeller, when we think of Rockefeller, we think of rich. Okay, but if Rockefeller had a child and that child was kidnapped, okay, there would be a ransom placed on that child's head. And that child would not be released until the price was paid. By the same token, the devil stole mankind, God's creation, and there was a price that had to be paid. And only Jesus could pay that price. And we know that it's God's will for us to walk in divine health because we have been redeemed. God loved mankind so much, he gave his only son for you and I. Isaiah 53:4 says it like this. One of the translations, the Hebrew, in the Hebrew Bible says, our disease he did bear himself, our pains he carried, while we indeed him, we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. This is my Amplified Bible. But if I ask Teresa, Teresa, would you bear my Bible away, please? Mm-hmm. Okay. No, go on, take it. Take it on away. Bye-bye. Go on, bye-bye. Okay. Then when I need my Amplified Bible, do I have it?
No.
Why? Because she took it. Jesus took your sickness.
Yes,
Jesus carried your pain. So why do we keep calling it my cold, my arthritis, when we're in covenant with Jesus? Thank you, Teresa. I fought fires for the District of Columbia Fire Department. I'm married to Minister LaCour. I'm in covenant with Minister LaCour. Minister LaCour ain't slid a pole, ain't drove a fire truck. But the first of the month, married women understand that, don't they? That wasn't no single woman that hollered that out. That wasn't no brother that hollered. You caught on after. I usually like to look at their smiles. Okay, see the married women, they just smiling. Okay, the first of the month, Minister LaCour gets the benefits. Okay, I should have went to hell, but Jesus went to hell for me. I like the example that Dad uses. When man fell, no other person could restore man back to his original position but God. The blood of the Father flows through the child's vein. So man came here, Romans tells us, with a sin nature. When man fell, every man born of Adam couldn't help themselves. They came here with a sin nature. We don't teach our babies to lie. We tell them, baby, don't have no more cookies. And they come to us, they got a crumb hanging out the side of their mouth. And they say, baby, baby, didn't I tell you don't get no more cookies? I know I had no more cookie, daddy. They got that sin nature. They got to be, watch this word, born again of the blood of Jesus, the incorruptible blood, okay? Unlike the Old Testament, where there was an atonement for our sin, and every year the high priest had to go in, he had to be clean himself, we have a better covenant established upon better better promises because of Jesus. He had the incorruptible blood flowing through his vein. In Genesis, the third chapter, verse 15, after the fall, God goes to mankind and he says, do you realize what you have done? It wasn't that man was hiding from an almighty God. God knew exactly where he was. But he's saying to him in the Hebrew, do you realize what you've done? Romans tells us that all of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, for us to realize who we be. Okay? But he says, because you have disobeyed me, because you have trusted the lies of the devil, the authority and all that I've given you goes to him. And mankind says, it's the woman that you gave me. The woman say, it's the snake. So God deals with the snake, tells him he'll crawl on his belly, and he tells the spirit inside that snake, he said, her seed shall take authority over your seed. See, the mercy of God, he didn't even remain mad at the woman. Never remained mad at the woman. He said, her seed shall take authority over your seed. Well, woman don't have a seed. In order for a woman to reproduce, she needs a seed of her husband. So he must have been talking about a supernatural seed. There was a little girl, Mary was her name. We find that she gets a visitation from an archangel, Gabriel. He comes with the word of God in his mouth. Corinthians says that the word is incorruptible seed. He tells her, he says, you are going to bring the Messiah into the earth realm. Now, the only thing that can come against the word of God is your will. You remember in Luke, the 22nd chapter, verses 39 through 43, how the master has a decision. He's facing a fork in the road. And he says, Father, is there any kind of other which way we can do this thing? I know that they're going to pull my beard out. I know my boys are going to leave me. But I've never been separated from you ever. And because I become sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who knew no sin became sin for you and I. God the Father, Isaiah 53:10 says that he had to put the sins of the world, the sicknesses of the world, upon his son Jesus. And nobody else could do it because everyone else had a sin nature. Jesus was pure. Isaiah 53:4 tells us that when they looked at Jesus, they thought he was a curse. Because here was this man that was walking around talking about he was the Son of God and justice on him. Look at him. The 52nd chapter of Isaiah, verse 14, tells us when they looked at him, he was unrecognizable as a man. It wasn't the stripes upon his back. It was the sin, the murders, the sicknesses, the disease, everything the devil carried was placed on Jesus one time. He had to pay the price. No one else could do it. Come on over here to Isaiah 53 real quick with me. Isaiah Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. In the eyes of God, you are healed. Amen. Sickness is spiritual. It had to be paid for spiritually. Sickness, sin, degradation was placed on the spirit of Jesus. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, verses 1 through 14, tells us of the blessings. Starting at verse 15, it says, if you don't keep all of these laws, then you open the door for all of these curses. Every sickness, every disease, where a wife is taken from her husband, where you lose your house, everything demonic was under the curse. But Jesus became a curse for us so that we can be free and we can be redeemed. Isaiah 53, 10, starting at verse 10, it says, yet it pleased the Lord, talking about Jehovah, to bruise him or to make him sick. He hath put sickness on him when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Jesus received that. The scripture in Luke says in the 22nd chapter, verses 39 through 42, it says that Jesus, the capillaries in his body excreted blood because he did not want to be separated from the Father. He so hated sin. It would be just like me in this white shirt knowing that my wife's ring has fallen off in a dirty basin, and I asked my brother to go hold my feet while I hold my breath and I get down in that filth to get her ring. Jesus became sin, became sickness for you and I. He shall see of the travail, verse 11, of his soul, and shall be satisfied by the knowledge of his righteousness. In other words, healing was obtained through the justification of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he took 39 stripes upon his back. But it wasn't the Romans' whip that paid for our healing. It was the acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ and the price that he paid. We have been redeemed. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet. Let me have one of the outlines, please. Thanks. If you would, let's close with next to the last page, you have meditation. Look at verse, chapter, Exodus 15, 26. Say this with me, Exodus 15, 26, B. For I am. Okay, now in meditation, let me share this with you. Meditation is like eating a good fruit. You don't have to shout. It's for you. It's for you only. And what you're doing, you're saying the word of God, you're speaking it back to the Father. His word never returns to him void or empty, okay? So it produces a harvest for you, okay? All right, you're speaking the word back to the Father, you're speaking it in your ear gates so you hear, you're putting it in your eye gates, it's going into your heart. Also, you have angels. The book of Psalms says that we have ministering spirits that hearken to the verse, to the words that are spoken, okay? And so they get busy in your life, okay? So when you meditate, it's like eating a strawberry or orange. You want to get all the succulents. You want to get all the juice out of it, okay? So your neighbor don't even have to, long as you hear it. Okay, we don't meditate silently, okay? Say this with me. For I am the Lord. Okay. Now, I'm not going to take him from you, am I? He's the Lord, right? Do you love him?
Yes.
Okay.
For I am
the Lord.
The Lord.
Jesus.
The Lord.
Jesus is my Lord.
That healeth me.
Father,
I thank you.
Father,
I thank you
that you are
the Lord
that heals me.
Father,
I thank you
that you are
my life giver.
You are
my life giver.
And I thank you.
Amen. Now, pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, what you do when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you give the Holy Ghost the opportunity to work on that word. Yeah. Okay, Hebrews the 4th chapter verse 12 tells us that the word of God finds the dark place, finds that sickness and disease, and it goes to that dark place. Because the word of God is light and life, darkness can't handle light.
Amen.
Okay, and the word of God right now is eradicating sickness and disease on the inside of you. On the person that you're standing in the gap for. Amen. Say, I can't lose. Say,
I can't lose
with the stuff I use. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Father, we thank you and praise you. We glorify you and magnify you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord God, that we have learned that it is your will for us to walk in divine health. Satan, I say to you as a man of God, you will not steal one iota of the word that these precious people have received today. Father, web this word in their heart, Lord God. Let it come out of the abundance of their heart, out of their mouth. Let them dream about it. Let them think about it. Let them meditate upon it. And let them be doers of the word, Father. And thereby see great manifestations of your power. Father, I fully expect and come in agreement with what you told me earlier, that we'll see miracles, we'll hear of miracles from this class, Father. And Father, for this we do give you much praise, much glory and honor. In Jesus' name, if you agree with that prayer, let it be known by saying amen.
Amen.
God bless you all.